Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're gearing up for a really crucial exploration. We're looking at cybersecurity in 2026. And this isn't just a look back. We're focusing on where the experts see a fundamental, a structural break in the security landscape, a point where the old ways of doing things just stop working.
That structural break is all about one thing, acceleration. If you take one idea away from this, it's that the time between a vulnerability being known and a system being totally compromised has collapsed. The idea we used to have, you know, the forgiving internet where you had maybe a few days a week to patch, that's over. It's effectively gone.
That sets a terrifying pace. So we've pulled together material from major industry reports, really focusing on these huge shifts, AI, identity, and geopolitics. Our mission here is to give you the key takeaways on where defense strategies have to adapt right now.
And we really have to start with the scale of the problem. It's just The mismatch is incredible. Projections show global spending on cybersecurity is going to hit something like $522 billion in 2026.
$500 billion? I mean, that sounds like we're winning the war.
It should, but we're not. Because at the same time, the projected cost of cybercrime is estimated to hit $10.5 trillion annually. And that's by the end of 2025. So you're looking at this asymmetry where the problem costs 20 times more than the defense budget. That tells you the strategy itself, not just the budget, is fundamentally broken.
Which takes us right to that first huge shift, The autonomous AI attack surface. AI agents aren't just tools we use anymore, are they? They're becoming actors.
Exactly. They're moving way beyond just advising. They're now what the reports call first-class subjects in an attacker's playbook. The goal isn't just to trick the human, it's to compromise the AI agent itself.
That feels like a profound change. Why are they a more attractive target than, say, a normal server? I mean, it's just code, right?
It's what some are calling a losing combo. Three things. One, they have way broader access to data than any single human. Two, they outwardly designed to make decisions and take actions without human oversight. And three, they operate across tons of interconnected systems all at once. So if an attacker turns that agent, they don't just get a foothold, they get privileged control over a huge part of the network, 24/7.
Okay, that makes sense. Now let's break down some of the jargon here. The reports talk about something called the lethal trifecta. Can you walk us through that?
Sure. The lethal trifecta is really about exploiting the AI's own rulebook. It's a framework called MCP Management Capabilities and Policies. Just think of the agent as a brand new, highly trusted employee. The MCP framework is its job description. It formalizes what tools it can use, the capabilities, and the rules for using them, the policies.
So if the agent has a tool that can, I don't know, access the entire customer database, that's a capability.
Right. And an attacker doesn't need to hack that tool. They just coax the agent. They manipulate its input to convince it that it needs to call a tool that's overscoped, a tool with way too many permissions for the actual task. And because the agent is trusted and autonomous, it just invokes that high-privileged tool, and you have a massive breach.
So the attack shifts from finding a flaw in an API to just tricking the machine's logic. And because this is all machine-machine, our old monitoring systems are basically blind to it.
Precisely. We're talking about machine speed vulnerabilities. The old log inspections, they were designed to spot a human making weird API calls. They just don't inspect the agent's delegation path.
So what's the immediate defense here? If these agents are running around inside the network, how do organizations need to start thinking about them?
You have to start treating them as potential insider threats. Immediately. Not because they're malicious, but because they have the capability to be if they're compromised. This means extending zero trust principles to non-human identities. Every single agent, every delegated task, it all has to be continuously authenticated and its access has to be minimized.
And practically, that means managing credentials for all these non-human things, which sounds like an enormous headache.
It is, but it's non-negotiable. You have to rigorously manage every single credential these agents use. If you can't track and constrain an agent like you would a disgruntled employee, you've just created this huge, unmanageable security gap.
That seems to lead us to a broader problem of trust. If we can't trust the agent's actions, how can we possibly trust its output?
This is critical. The reports are predicting that 2026 will be the over-reliance era. The number one security concern is going to be this unqualified trust in what AI tells us. The failure doesn't start with a hacker. It starts with a very confident but very wrong AI answer that just sets off a cascade of problems.
Can you give me a concrete example of that? How does one simple error just blow up?
Okay, imagine an autonomous agent sees a performance slowdown. It suggests a configuration change to fix it, but that suggested change actually weakens the security control. Maybe it opens an obscure firewall port. The automation system trusts the agent, so it just implements the change. And worse, sometimes the automation tidies up the evidence. It deletes temporary logs because it thinks its own action was correct, which completely destroys the forensic trail.
So the error spreads at machine speed, and the machine that made the error erases the evidence. That's an accountability nightmare.
It is. And this problem gets even bigger with something being called reality poisoning. This goes way beyond just deepfakes.
Reality poisoning. Tell us more about that.
It's the contamination of our whole data environment. You've got organizations flooding public channels with cheap machine-written content. Think SEO sludge, auto-generated news, fake reviews. Then the big AI models get trained on this ocean of low-quality synthetic junk, basically their own exhaust and the output from other models.
So they're training themselves on digital empty calories.
Exactly. They're ingesting nonsense. And because they're so good at generating plausible-sounding results, the line between what actually happened and what the machine just inferred as plausible, it just vanishes. This completely undermines the knowledge bases businesses rely on for everything.
And that ties right into the accountability gap you hear about in audits. When one agent delegates a task to another, the trail goes cold.
Your traditional logs become useless. Yeah, they can confirm authentication succeeded for the first action, but they don't show who authorized the delegation down the line or what constraints that subagent was supposed to have. You're going to need new systems to trace that whole authorization chain in real time just to understand why something happened.
Okay, so with all this AI sophistication, it's kind of amazing that the human element is still the number one threat. And that's because identity is still the weakest point.
It absolutely is. The old network perimeter has crumbled, so identity has been forced to become the new anchor. The identity layer is now the primary target, and it's going to be treated like a national security priority.
And we've gone past the remote worker idea. The reports call it the nomadic employee now.
That nomadic workforce, it adds so much complexity. People relocating, handling sensitive data from risky places, connecting from untrusted networks. And attackers exploit this instability with advanced social engineering. They prey on our human tendencies, you know, deference to authority, urgency from an account lockout, and this thing called consent fatigue during security checks.
And the reports are very clear that LLMs are making these attacks almost perfect.
They erase the giveaways. No more bad grammar or weird phrasing. LLMs create context-aware, perfectly fluent, multilingual emails.
Yeah.
They're indistinguishable from the real thing, which makes spear phishing incredibly effective.
There's also a really specific new threat targeting identity recovery, right?
Yes, help desk social engineering. It's focused on exploiting those identity recovery workflows to get a legitimate password reset. The attacker calls in, impersonates a key employee, gives just enough info to pass the basic checks, and the help desk, who's under pressure, resets the password. We've seen some high-profile attacks show this can beat even multi-factor authentication.
And the insider threat itself is changing. The line is blurring between a real insider and, say, a state actor just pretending to be one.
That blur is accelerating, all thanks to remote work. We've seen state actors, specifically groups from North Korea, using these incredibly convincing fake identities to get remote IT jobs. They're not hacking their way in. They're walking through the front door as a vetted employee. Their goal is just to generate illicit revenue and send it back home. It's corporate espionage and cybercrime all rolled into one.
That scary mix leads us right into our next theme: the convergence of geopolitics and cyber conflict. The clean line between cybercrime and nation states is basically gone.
It's a full convergence. You're getting these hybrid threats. The APTs, the state-backed groups, are now mimicking hacktivists. They create fake grassroots personas, leak data through activist fronts, all to make attribution a nightmare. It's basically a well-funded disinformation campaign that looks like spontaneous activism.
So state actors are using the chaos of hacktivism for their own strategic goals.
Precisely. And in another really worrying trend, these state actors are now shopping in criminal marketplaces. Why spend millions on a zero day when you can just buy initial access? These initial access brokers, or IADs, they're the key enablers. They provide pre-authenticated footholds into networks, which just massively cuts down the time and cost for everyone to launch an attack.
Which raises the risk for critical infrastructure. We're talking energy grids, water supplies. These are not abstract targets.
No, and geopolitical tensions are just going to accelerate those attacks. This leads to this weird mechanism where nations actually start suppressing defensive information for their own advantage.
What does that look like in practice? That's suppression.
In some countries, China is the primary example, participants in hacking competitions are legally required to hand over any vulnerabilities they find to the state first. They don't report it to the software vendor. This means a critical defensive vulnerability is immediately held, or maybe even weaponized, by the state instead of being patched for everyone. It's strategic withholding of defensive knowledge.
That's a staggering policy.
Yeah.
Let's look at a few flashpoints. What about the Venezuela crisis in 2026? What should we expect?
The forecast suggests we should expect to see U.S. offensive cyber ops targeting Venezuela partially exposed. And this exposure, whether it's a leak or intentional, provides raw material for counter-narratives that get amplified by Russia, Iran, and China. They'll reframe it as defending Venezuela from U.S. aggression, but the real goal is to undermine U.S. domestic perception.
And looking east, what about China's 15th five-year plan? How does that create a target list for their hackers?
That plan is a clear political demand signal. It's essentially a hit list. Since the plan is all about dominating core tech manufacturing, the targets will be in competing sectors. So we expect to see a focus on global semiconductor supply chains, advanced AI systems, and key industrial control systems in rival nations.
Okay, let's pull back from geopolitics and look at market forces and long-term strategy. Starting with quantum computing. 2026 is being called the quantum credibility checkpoint. What does that mean for security teams today?
It means we're moving the discussion from if to when. 2026 is the year the market is going to demand real, tangible progress toward fault tolerance. It's about moving from hype to hard evidence. And security teams are already acting with urgency because of the harvest now, decrypt later problem.
Explain that for anyone who hasn't heard the term before.
It's simple. Sophisticated actors, mostly nation-states, are stealing huge amounts of encrypted data right now. Financial records, diplomatic cables, trade secrets. They can't decrypt it today, but they're storing it, betting that in 5, 10, maybe 15 years, a cryptographically relevant quantum computer will exist. And then they can decrypt all that data retroactively.
So it's not just about protecting future data. It's about secrets we have right now, which makes crypto agility a huge deal.
Absolutely. Crypto agility is just your ability to swap out cryptographic algorithms, including these new post-quantum or PQC algorithms, without breaking everything. It's like changing the tires on a race car while it's still moving. It has to be seamless, and it's becoming a board-level metric. We expect to see major PQC trials and things like TLS stacks in 2026, and that's going to expose how fragile a lot of systems really are.
Okay, moving from that complexity to compliance, the paperwork everyone loves to hate. How is that shifting from a chore to something strategic?
Compliance is changing radically. It's not just a box-checking exercise anymore. It's a revenue driver. Survey data shows that 61% of companies needed certifications like SOC2 or ISO 27001 just to land new contracts. And almost half said that a lack of certification actively delayed their sales. So compliance is becoming a real competitive advantage.
But the internal burden must be immense, especially for companies juggling multiple frameworks.
It's at a breaking point. The solution is this inevitable shift toward continuous readiness and automated GRC governance, risk, and compliance. It means centralizing your evidence and mapping controls automatically across frameworks instead of that mad scramble you do for 3 months before the annual audit.
And finally, let's talk about the AI startup market. We've seen so much hype. Is a correction coming?
A consolidation is inevitable. Expect a mass extinction of those generic AI startups, you know, the co-pilot for X companies that don't have deep expertise or unique data. The bubble is going to pop. But the AI infrastructure itself will remain deeply embedded in platforms like Microsoft 365 and Google Workspace. The real value is going to be in specialized security companies using smaller models trained on their own high-stakes threat data.
That was a lot. So to summarize the big pressures, AI is accelerating the attack tempo, identity is the new, very fragile trust boundary, and geopolitics is driving these really sophisticated hybrid threats.
And the immediate takeaway for you has to be that defense must become AI native. If you're treating AI as just another tool, another option, you are going to be overwhelmed by a speed you just can't match.
Which leads us perfectly into our final provocative thought. We're already seeing signs of cultural resistance to this, the prediction of AI veganism, where customers or even employees want to opt out of using AI.
And while opting out of a consumer product might be fine, in cybersecurity, AI is quickly becoming, well, less optional. It's required to maintain an adequate defense against these threats we've been talking about.
And this raises a fascinating, maybe even a chilling question about liability. If a provider uses advanced AI to create a minimum security standard, and a customer chooses to opt out of those protections, That choice might shift liability from the provider back onto the user when something goes wrong. In a world where AI is required for defense, how much control do you really have over your own security choices? That is something to mull over until our next deep dive.